Please turn with me here this morning to Psalm 119. If you want to find it, open your Bible at the very middle point, and I can assure you, you'll either be at Psalm 119 or just before it. Should have a few of you test that out to see if it actually happens, but that's how you find Psalm 119, or as our American friends call it, Psalm 119. Wouldn't want if any of them listen to go, what is that guy reading from? I had that before. Someone told me, you said Psalm, and he says I was bewildered way into the message, wondering where you're reading from or what you're speaking about. So you have to say these things at time. But I'm going to read from Psalm 119. And verse 105, my message this morning, I believe, is a very important one. It's in keeping with our Bible studies on the Wednesday nights, but it's a very important, crucial, practical message here. My message, guidance by the Word, guidance by the Word, or by the Word of God. Psalm 119, reading from verse 105, and it says there, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth. O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Let's pray together here this morning that the Lord will speak to us and encourage us and make the word of God to be a blessing, that we might feast on it, that it might literally encourage us and do something within our hearts. Father, I do thank you for this precious book this morning. We don't take it for granted when we think how it's been persecuted, nor God, over the past 2,000 years. And even in our world this morning, my God, it is hated by the devil. It is attacked on every sort of front. The communists attacked it. The atheist has attacked it. The Catholic Church has attacked it. Academics in Protestantism have attacked it. But Lord God, your word has been purified 7 times in the fire. Lord God, it comes first shining and perfect, O God, without even being dented by the afflictions and the attacks of Islam and every other ism of our world. Lord God, I thank you for a perfect book, a word of truth. And even here this morning, I thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord God, make it to be a shining lamp here this morning, that we might gain guidance and direction and instruction for life in it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. We do pray that God would get glory and honor and praise this morning, that our hearts would even rejoice in him as we study the word of God here this morning. My message from Psalm 119 and verse 105 is guidance by the word. Guidance by the word of God. This is Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm, and you'll be glad. Not only if I read it, it would take about 15 minutes, but I can assure you it's the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the entire Bible. I'm sure you would all say, amen. Thank God he's not going to expound it all and preach on all 176 verses of Psalm 119 this morning, or we're going to be here through until next week. I can assure you there is so much in it. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter. The previous chapter, Psalm 118, is actually the middle chapter of the entire Bible. If you count all the chapters, it is smack right in the middle of every single chapter. The previous chapter, Psalm 117, is the shortest psalm in our Bible, just two brief verses. But Psalm 119 that we're looking at here this morning is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. Men of God, many of them, all through the generations, have learnt of Psalm 119 because it's filled with wisdom, instruction, godly counsel. It will keep you from sin. It'll protect you when the enemy attacks you. It'll encourage your heart. It'll turn your eyes heavenward. It'll show you how to walk in this life. Psalm 119 is literally filled with remarkable truths. And one man actually called Psalm 119 the Psalm of the Word. Or in other words, Psalm 19 is dedicated to show you or to teach you about the Word of God. Psalm 119 is actually here to show you that the Word of God is perfect, that it's to guide your life, that it's to instruct you in holiness. It is a remarkable chapter. William Wilberforce actually learnt this off by heart. Who was he? He was the man who brought an end to slavery within the British Empire. I assure you that Psalm 119 has affected our world. It has affected the church, politics, national things. William Wilberforce hid this psalm in his heart. It actually affected how he thought, what he did, how he spoke in Parliament. It radically affected him and then changed the laws of a nation. They abolished slavery, and it was this man that was behind it, a man who loved the Word of God. Another man, Henry Martin, he also learnt off Psalm 119. He was a missionary to India when no other missionaries were going out. That Englishman went out as a missionary to take the gospel to India. Many discouragements, much opposition, many heartaches, many things he didn't understand. Do you know what kept him on the mission field? Psalm 119. He learnt it up by heart. He memorized it. He meditated upon it. Another man who learnt off this psalm, I hope you know these men, was David Livingstone, that great missionary to Africa. He learnt it off. He recited it. He meditated on it in his mind, and it affected his entire life. He crisscrossed Africa times without number, but his one prayer was, let the gospel of Jesus Christ, the words of life, penetrate every single nation within Africa. You see, Psalm 119 has been a remarkable psalm in the history of the church. If you memorize this psalm, you've got a mini Bible stored in your heart and stored in your mind. It is packed, filled with the doctrine of the Bible. If you want to know what you should believe about the Bible, read Psalm 119. If you want to know what our theology about the Bible ought to be, read Psalm 119, and it will tell you specifically. The apostles of Christ, Christ himself, the prophets of old were all raised on psalms like this. Let's look at Psalm 119 here this morning. You know, this was meant to be a one-off message, but I want to show you, when I got to studying this, I've got about seven messages, but they'll probably come in a few weeks' time. I'm just giving you a one-off message here this morning. You know, when something touches you, it overflows. It's like a cup overflowing. You go, I cannot contain this. And in fact, Psalm 119 has the answer to every single issue in every single one of your life sitting here. It doesn't matter whether you're discouraged this morning. It doesn't matter where you're looking guidance this morning. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Psalm 119 actually contains a very specific answer for you, and I hope we'll touch on some of this. But Psalm 119 has 176 verses. In the old Jewish scrolls that they used to scroll out, there was 176 lines. And each of the lines in Psalm 119 were an individual, distinct verse of scripture. And those 176 lines were then broken down into what they called 22 stanzas, or into paragraphs. And you know what? In the Hebrew language, the Old Testament language of the scripture, the Hebrew language, there are 22 letters of the alphabet. And that's how they broke this entire psalm down. They took every single alphabet letter of the alphabet, and they broke this entire psalm down into 22 different sections. In each section, there are 8 verses, and those 8 verses begin with the letter that represents that entire stanza. In other words, let me give you an example here from Psalm 119, where we read, beginning at verse 105, to verse 112 is one of these actual stanzas. In fact, it's the 14th stanza in this psalm, because it's represented by the 14th letter of the Jewish alphabet. I hope you're following me with this. If you look in your Bible, and this is inspired, it's not added by any commentators or men who laid out the scripture. This is inspired of the Holy Spirit. Look at above Psalm 100 and, or sorry, verse 105 in your Bible, and you'll see the little word none. It's either at the beginning of your verse or it's above it. In my Bible, it's the heading of this entire section, and you have the word nun. Now, that word nun isn't a Catholic nun. If I told you I'm looking for a nun in the Bible this morning, you ex-Catholics would get very worried about me. If I said I'm going to preach to you about a nun in the Bible, you'd say, man, he's fallen into apostasy. But the word nun there is actually pronounced noon. Noon, as in high noon. And under this section, this word noon actually defines the letter N. Look at the symbol of it. I even have in my Bible a symbol. It is an upright symbol. The old Jews said that upright symbol with being bent at the top and bent at the bottom is the symbol of the letter N, the 14th letter of the Hebrew scriptures. And what they said was it symbolized humility, that this actual portion of 8 verses that we're going to deal with, remember what my message is, guidance by the word of God. That's what this stanza is all about. This letter N actually represents that the righteous are upright. Those who walk in the light of God's word, they're upright, they're straight, they hold their head high. And yet there's a bend in the letter. There's 2 ways you can write this letter. And it shows the humility of those who really know the word of God. And that's what we're looking for here this morning. The little book of Lamentation is actually very similar. It's organized around the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. If you were to go to the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 4 have 22 verses within each of those chapters. And the first letter of every word of each of the 22 verses begin with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Then in chapter 3 of Lamentations, it has 66 verses, because the first 3 verses start with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it goes straight through. Saints, I'm just showing you there is an order in this. There is a methodical mind. In Psalm 119, it wasn't only the Holy Spirit giving us this psalm, but a man wrote this psalm. A man who was expert in the word of God. A man who knew the word of God like very few others. Now all the commentators, some of them say David wrote this psalm. Others say that Moses wrote this psalm. And still others say Daniel, or one of the prophets wrote this, or maybe Nehemiah. I actually think the best person, maybe the most likely who wrote Psalm 119, is Ezra in the Old Testament. Who was Ezra? He was the man sent from captivity in Babylon back to Israel to rebuild the temple. He actually led 500 men out of imprisonment, captivity, slavery, and they made that journey back to Jerusalem again. He dreamed of a day when God would revive his people, when God would restore the law of God, when God would give back to his people again the word of God, and that the word of God would be honored and respected and preached and taught again in God's house. You see, when Ezra got back to Jerusalem, the walls are down, the temple is burnt down, the people have been scattered, and the word of God is no longer preached. But you know what Ezra done when he got back there? He says, let's again come back to the word of God. Let's preach the word of God. Let's teach the word of God. And in the book of Nehemiah, you read about how Ezra goes back there. Sorry, in the book of Ezra, how he goes back to Jerusalem. And they called a great gathering of God's people. And he stood up, and it says that he began to teach the word of God. He began to expound it and to explain it and to open it up and to give it to the people. And you know how long they preached? They preached all day long. And when he came to the end of it, see, he was a teacher of the word of God. He was a teacher, not an evangelist. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a prophet. He was a teacher. He was a man of the word of God. And you know what happened when he finished teaching the word of God? Showing them how they should live. Showing them how we should be as the people of God. At the end, there was two reactions. The people began to weep and they began to rejoice. Can you imagine? It's so moved by the word of God. Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, thank you. Oh God, I desire this. And that's who we believe, or I believe could have written this wonderful psalm, Psalm 119. You see, it's unique. It's a psalm or a song. The longest, I tell you, Ezra was a long-winded preacher. You've never heard a preacher unless you sat under Ezra. Paul the Apostle wouldn't have compared with him. And that's why I believe Psalm 119 is so long. He gets onto the subject of the Bible. What is the Bible? What does the Bible do? How does it affect your life? And when he does, I'm telling you, it's the longest chapter in the entire Bible. I see the fingerprints of Ezra here. It's all about the word of God. Within Psalm 119, there are 9 terms for the word of God to explain it. 9 names for the Bible, for God's truth. Listen to these 9 names for a moment. The first one is the law, and that's used 25 times. In this psalm, 25 times called the law. In other words, the teachings, the instructions. Secondly, there's the testimonies. The Bible is called testimonies. That's used 23 times. In other words, when you come to the Bible, to God's word, they are called the testimonies. Do you know this book is filled with testimonies of life of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, of Moses, of Peter, of Paul? Do you know what all these testimonies are? It's within the word of God. Do you know the life of Abraham all the way through to the life of Paul are the testimonies of God, the word of God. It's revealing to you what happens when you put the word of God in your life. Thirdly, the Bible is called judgments. Judgments. In other words, it's what regulates your life. It's what reveals things in your life. It's what brings judgments on things in your life. It says that's not okay, and that is to be commended. That's what the word of God does. Fourthly, it's called statutes. It's 21 times in this psalm. And it simply means, the statutes means those things that have been written down. Fifthly, it's called the word, or the word of God. 24 times that it's called 20. It's called, do you see what this psalm is? It's all about the word of God. Do you know that almost in all 76 verses, the word of God is talked about in every single verse? This entire psalm is about the word of God. It reveals the character of God. It reveals what the word of God will do in your life. And that's why it's called the word of God, which means the spoken word of God. It's also called precepts. And that's used 21 times. Someone, a Hebrew scholar, actually said the word precepts means the calculated thought of God about things. In other words, precepts are God's carefully thought out ways that he reveals through his word. It's not by chance. It's not casual. Seventhly, commandments, which are orders. Eighthly, the word of God is called promises 19 times in this psalm. And what are the promises? It's what he says he wants to do for you and what he'll do in you and what his heart is to give unto you. That's what the promises are. And ninth and lastly, the word of God is called the ways of God. That's only used 2 times in this psalm. Saints, here are 9 words to define what the word of God is. Names for the word of God. And about 172 times there is a name for God's word within these verses. Almost 8 of these words are used about 20 times. And only one of them is used too. You see, I believe Ezra, he is describing, showing to you the value, the spiritual value and power of God's word to make you a man or a woman who walks with God. It can revolutionize your life. Saints, let me bring you to my message here this morning. Guidance by the word of God. Guidance by the word of God. Now I've got 3 points here I want to give to you very briefly if I can. 3 very vital points. First of all, guidance in your walk. Secondly, guidance in your weakness. And thirdly, guidance in your worship. We all have it here in these first 3 verses. From verse 105 through until verse 108. In these 4 verses, I want to give you these 3 points here this morning. My first point, guidance in your walk with God. In other words, the word of God brings guidance to you. That's what Psalm 119 is showing us. All these names of the word of God, showing what it does in your life. Do you know the first great point here that we read in verse 105 is guidance in your walk with God. Follow with me in verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Look at that, verse 5. Guidance in your walk. What is the Bible? What is the purpose of the Bible? Why has God given us his written word? Why are we given all these books and even this psalm? You know why? Because the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Notice it uses the word there. It means the spoken word, the proclaimed word, the audible word. It's when the word of God comes to you with power, being proclaimed and being spoken unto you. You see, the word of God, the Bible, is to guide how you walk with God. Hear me. It is to actually guide you and to be a guide unto your feet and unto your pathway. It says here that your word is a lamp. What's the word of God like? It is like a lamp. If you went to the streets of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, those little tiny narrow streets are pitch black. They didn't have lots of lamps in around those streets. And when you went out in those streets, or you went out into the back streets, you know what you needed? You needed to carry a lamp, or else you'd walk into something, or you'd walk into a person, or you'd stand in something that you'd regret you ever stood in. Since this psalm has shown us that the Bible is to be a guide in your walk with God and in your Christian life and how you live your life this side of eternity. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Notice here that a lamp is a source of light. Where does the light come from? It comes from the lamp. The lamp is what the oil is in and the flame is in. It is the source of light. It is actually the thing that brings light onto your very feet. Since you wouldn't know how to make a step, you wouldn't know how to make a decision, you wouldn't even know what comes next, you would not know what to do. What is the purpose of a lamp? It is to illuminate or give light onto your feet. The lamp is for your feet. You know, when they used to walk with those lamps, they actually held it very low to the ground. They're not holding it up to look ahead. They want to see where their feet is going. So they hold the lamp right down by their feet. That's what a Christian does. You know what he does? This book is a lamp for your feet. Do you know what you ought to be doing? It is a light shining. There is a fire burning in this book. And you ought to be holding it down by your feet, going, I don't want to place my feet anywhere that God would not want them. I don't want to make a decision. I don't want to step into the snare of the fowler. I don't want to step into the ways of men. I don't want to walk like men in this world. Since the Bible has been given to guide your walk with God, it is to make choices and decisions and to know what to do. Do you remember Abram in the Old Testament when God first came to him? At the very beginning, he becomes regenerate. He is a man of faith. He hears the voice of God and he responds with faith. Do you know what God says to him? Abraham, I want you to leave your home. And I want you to leave your family. And I want you to leave all the idols. And I want you to leave your culture. And I've got a land I'm going to show you. He makes a promise to him. He reveals something to him. He says, I want you to leave everything and walk out into that wilderness with that sweet little girl of yours who must be 70 odd at that stage. And I want you to get on that camel and go out into that wilderness and begin making a journey. Do you know that the Bible says that he went out not knowing where he was going? He didn't know the directions. He didn't know, was it north or south or west or east? Never mind, get on the camel. Just get out of here. That's the first step. See, people say, well, I want you to give me a roadmap. I want you to tell me what's going to happen in the next 10 years. I want you to give me all the details. Then I'll make a decision to move. If you open the door, then I'll act in obedience. No, 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 no. Look at this verse, saints of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Notice that the Bible is like a lamp. The word of God is to guide your walk. The word of God is very practical. You may say, I'm praying for an angel. I'm praying for a dream. I'm praying for a vision. I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to speak to me. The word of God is a lamp onto your feet. You make steps. You move forward. You make decisions. You actually begin to move on the basis of God's word. God's word is a light. You may say, oh, but I don't have any shining lights out of the page. Oh, you may not do, but this is a lamp. It illuminates your darkness. What is darkness? It is ignorance. Or maybe it's neglect. Or maybe it's laziness. You see, darkness, this world is a dark world. You don't know how to walk in this world. You don't know how to live in this world without the lamp of God's word. You can't move your feet. You don't know what direction to go in. But like Abram, all you need to do is know the first step. Lord, by the lamp of your word, I don't need a dream or a revelation. I don't need to know everything. But I do know the first step. And I know the second step. And as you make steps, the word of God illuminates. The next step. You may say, I don't know 10 steps ahead. I know you don't. But just make the step and light begins to shine upon your path. He says, thy word was a lamp unto my feet. And then secondly, notice he says, and a light unto my path. Notice the lamp is for your feet, for your movement. The lamp is actually to show you, the source of the light is to show you how to make a step. But from that source comes light that shines out onto your pathway, in front of you, illuminating generally the direction that you're to walk in. So light comes from the lamp. And saints, I want to tell you, light comes from the word of God. This is the lamp of God. This is the word of God. This is how you walk according to this. And as you do that, light shines upon your path, showing you the direction that you're actually to walk in. You see, God's word is a lamp. for your feet and a light unto your path. What is light? It's truth. It's revelation. It's insight. It's discernment. It's discretion. It's understanding. It's knowledge on how I am to move forward. It says in Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp. The commandment is a lamp. You're to walk by the lamp of God's word. There's some people are praying, well, Lord, should I marry Sally Ann? She's a drunkard. She's a loose wee girl. You know what? The Bible, the commandment says, don't have anything to do with her. Don't be unequally yoked. Stay away from her. She's a strange woman. She is a foreign woman. She is an immoral woman. If you play, oh, I'm going to get her saved. Stay away from her. Stay away from her. See, that's the command. That's the lamp of God actually shining upon my path. I know what to do. I know how I'm to walk. For the commandment is a lamp. And the law is light. Oh, I'm not under law. I assure you, you do want to be under this law. This law of the word of God shines upon your path. Paul took heed to it in the New Testament. Peter did. Jesus did. John the Baptist did. The early churches took heed to the law that was a light onto your path to show you how to walk, what direction you should walk in. And it says the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Do you realize with this lamp and with this light, you walk in life? I mean real life. There is life in the light of God. You want life? You want to enjoy the life of God? Then you need to walk by the lamp of God. It says in the New Testament in Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Notice what it says by this apostle. He's teaching and he says, you know light because it reproves. It reproves. What does reprove mean? It rebukes anything that is darkness in your life. When you have the word of God as a lamp for your feet and a light onto your path, do you know what the word of God does? It reproves. It warns you. It corrects you. It says you better get rid of that pride. You better get rid of that attitude. You better get rid of that way of speaking. Do you know what? It's showing you. Walk right. Speak right. Make decisions in the right way. And you're going to have a pathway of light where God blesses you. Where God blesses you. Paul the Apostle says that this light reproves and it makes manifest. It reveals things. When you walk in the light, you start to see things that you didn't realize were there. Things that you thought were right in your life. Well, I'm doing very good. Then the light shines and it begins to reprove you. And it begins to show you things. Go, God help me, I thought I was doing okay. I never realized that was there. Do you know what that means? Don't get discouraged with that. It means the light of God is shining on your pathway. You know, when the lights are off and we can think, isn't it great in here? Don't I look great? Turn the lights on and we see everything. You go, oh no, oh no, I wish the lights were off again. No, don't do that. Light illuminates, light reproves, light manifests everything for what it is. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Some people walk into churches and go, I don't like convicting messages. I don't like the way he gets on me all the time. I don't like the way he messes with my life. My religion, it's between me and God. It's my private responsibility. You know, someone was getting in my business in another country, interfering in this city, in life, with people. It was none of their business. They're backslidden. They're not walking with God, but they're interfering. So I just kindly spoke to the person, just said, you know what, you need to be very careful. You need to be very careful. You need to search your own life out. Do you know what he said to me? He says, well, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that examine yourself. No one else is meant to judge you. I just examine myself. I go, it's a waste of time speaking to someone like that. You see, the word of God, where you find the word of God, it does reprove, it does manifest, it reveals things. It says in 1 John chapter 2 and 10, he that loveth his brother. What does the Bible teach? Love your brother. Do I need a dream for that? Ooh, cheer! Love your brother! You don't need that. I've got the command of God's word. I don't need it to be enlivened unto me. I don't need to feel something. I don't need a flashlight. The Bible commands me, love my brother. That's how simple it is. 1 John says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. What is the light? Light is truth. Light is truth. If you abide or walk in the light, and we are told, abide in the light, walk in the light, receive the light, believe the light, stay with the light of God. What is light? It is truth. It is actually truth. And it says, if you love your brother, do you know what you're doing? You're actually walking in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. What's stumbling? It's when you can't see where you're going and you fall. You trip over something. You fall over. But he says, when you're walking in the truth, when you're walking in the light, when you're loving your brother, there's no occasion for me to stumble. When you don't put it, the word of God into operation, you know what happens? You stumble over one of your family members. Or you stumble over someone in this church. And you come in to a clash between an individual, and you're getting angry and annoyed, and there's opposition. Do you know what that means? You're not walking in the love of God, and you're stumbling. You keep kicking your foot because you're walking in darkness. You're not holding that lamp down by your feet. There's no light shining on your path, or else you'd be careful of your words. You'd be careful of your attitude. You'd be careful not to trip over things. It says in Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Do you know there's a perfect day when Jesus is coming back? There is a perfect day when the kingdom of God is coming down. There is a perfect day when God will set up his kingdom upon this earth, a dominion of everlasting righteousness. And you know what? As you walk in this light, it's shining brighter and brighter and brighter until that day. Saints, there is a day when this light is going to shine so brightly in this world of ours. I mean this world. The kingdoms of this world are going to become his kingdoms. King Jesus is coming back to reign on the earth again. I know what our world is like now. It is a dark world. We have to walk through this world of darkness with a lamp held very tightly and to walk in the light of truth. But there's a day coming when this world of ours is going to get illuminated by the light of God, the truth of God, the blessing of God. Saints, we won't be holding candles anymore or little torches to see our path. God is going to illuminate the nations of the world, and they shall be filled with light. Thank God. That's my first point. Guidance in your walk. The Bible gives guidance in your walk. Secondly, guidance in your weakness. Not only guidance in your walk, but guidance in your weakness. Look at verse 7 with me. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Look at the psalmist who wrote Psalm 119. And if it is Ezra, say, if it is Ezra. Do you know what? He was a man of great affliction. The writer of this psalm, and it's a song. It's a song about the word of God. And in verse 7 he says, I am afflicted very much. That isn't just words. That isn't him just writing a song. This is a personal testimony about his personal experience. The word affliction there means to be bent down. You're going through certain circumstances that bend you down or beat you down to the ground. Or you're under the chastening of God. That's what affliction means. You're being chastened, disciplined, corrected, beaten up, left on the floor. That's what chastening means. Do you know in this Psalm 119, suffering is mentioned about 66 times at least. Suffering. And this suffering is very broad. He goes into his personal testimony. He talks about his persecution, the anguish of his heart, the troubles of his mind, about those who speak against him, those who planned his downfall. He actually talks about times his heart is in horror. He's literally trembling from the inside out. He is in a terrible condition. When you go through the psalm, you see this is a real man like you and me. He's facing real trials, real troubles, both outside and on the inside. His trials on the outside are enemies, persecutions and troubles. But on the inside, he is fighting discouragement at times. It is very real. So he has outward troubles and inward troubles. But within this seven verses in this psalm, he talks about his afflictions. Seven verses that talk about the afflictions of God. You see, I'm talking about a man who's using the word of God as a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. It says there in verse 106, look at this man who he is. He says, I have sworn and I will perform it and I will keep thy righteous judgments. He wasn't only a man who says, oh, I've got a lamp. He says, I'm sworn. I have committed myself. I am determined to keep the word of God. I will not be moved from the word of God. And yet he's being afflicted. You see, you in this church can be going through afflictions and you go, why is this happening to me? Why is this affliction in my life? I don't deserve this. Why is this person doing that? Or why am I in this condition of mind and heart? Why am I being afflicted? Well, there's reasons in this psalm. We actually read what the reasons are. In Psalm 119 and verse 75, it says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. Talking about God's word. They're right. They're right. There's nothing wrong with them. And it says, and thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Who was afflicting this psalmist who wrote Psalm 119? God was afflicting him. Here he is bowed down with his afflictions. He is being pressed down. He feels at times he can't manage the trials that are pressing in on him. He feels it's too much from him. He feels like he's being squeezed inside out. He feels like it's just too much at times. But you know what he says? But I know there's nothing wrong with your word. There's nothing wrong with you, O God. Your word are right words. They are correct. But he says, you in faithfulness have afflicted me. Do you know God afflicts saints? If you don't realize this, you better understand this with me on this point. You see, the word of God, it's a guidance. You know, God's word's meant to guide you. You're being afflicted and you go, it's the devil. Not always. It's my enemies. God sent fire and consumed them. Do you know what this psalmist, this man who's holding fast the word of God, who said, I will keep the word of God. Do you know what he's saying? You're afflicting me. You're using all these things in my life to afflict me or to bend me down. Maybe I was too proud before. Maybe there were things in my life. Maybe I was judgmental of other people. And now in my affliction, I'm not so proud anymore. And I'm not pointing the finger anymore. Do you know what I'm doing? It's saying, oh God, your word is truth. One thing in this trial I know, you are faithful. You're afflicting me. You're actually chastening me. You're dealing with me because you're a faithful God. How do I know that? How do I know that? Because of the word of God. You see, in your weakness, you better know the word of God. This word guides you. Because you know what? You get very confused. You get angry at God. You would accuse God. You'd say, I don't deserve this. Or you'd get angry at your enemies. Or why is my boss at work doing this? Why is he picking on me? Oh, woe is me. Look what I'm going through. You don't realize God is there. It isn't your boss. It's not an individual. God is there because he wants to work something. What else does it say? In verse 71, it says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted. Do I hear any amens? Have you come to a place? There wasn't many amens there. Sure wasn't. Well, I understand you. I'm in full agreement with you. But the psalmist says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. How do you come to a place where you go, you know, this affliction, this trouble, this heartache in my life, it's good. I'm glad it happened. Do you know, in your Christian walk, you aren't always there. Many times, I haven't quite learned how to rejoice in the trials. I rejoice after them, maybe a year after them, and I go, praise God for that trial. But to try and learn to rejoice with God in the trial, it's not easy, saints. And yet, here this man, he says, I can testify, it is good for me that I have been, past tense, afflicted. When I look back on the trials and the affliction of God, and I'm not talking about all the persecution, the affliction of God, he says, it was good. You know why? It done something within me. He says, that I might learn thy statutes. In other words, when I'm going through that, you know what I've come out with? I've learnt the word of God. The word of God has been written on my mind, on my heart. And he has been praying, Lord, write the word of God on my mind, on my heart. See, when you go through the trials, don't blame me. don't throw stones at me. Maybe God is answering your prayer and said, you said you wanted these verses in your heart. You wanted to walk like me. You wanted to walk in holiness. I'm answering your actual prayers. In verse 67, it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Do you know what he's saying here? He was saying, before you afflicted me and chastened me and disciplined me and humbled me under your mighty hand, do you know what? I used to veer off into things and I'd go this direction and I'd jump over the hedge and I'd go after other preachers and I'd go onto YouTube and listen, Mr. Nobody and Mrs. Somebody. I used to do that, but oh, I got in trouble. Oh, my God, chasing me. And you know what? One thing I've learned is the word of God. I've learned to keep his word. The word says, don't listen to false prophets. We thought, oh, sure, it's okay. Joyce Meyer is such a wonderful preacher. She encourages me. She really builds me up. She makes me feel good about myself. You're going to get chastened if you're a real sheep. And at the end of it, you're going to say, thank God for that chastening. Because you know what? I'm not listening to Joyce Meyer anymore. The Lord is chastening me so that I can keep the word of God. It says in verse 153, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. In verse 92, he says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Verse 50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Look at this verse 7. It says, I am afflicted very much, very much. And what is the answer, saints? He says, quicken me according to thy word. Do you know what the answer is in your affliction? You say this morning, I'm being afflicted. It could be many different things. Many different troubles. Since I'm trying to give you guidance from the word of God. Not only guidance in your walk, but guidance in your weakness. Guidance in your affliction. Guidance in your struggles. I'm trying to give you guidance. I'm saying, hold up the lamp of God's word. And you know what it says? Maybe the Lord's in this. Maybe you're going to learn the word of God. Maybe you're going to grow. There's no growth on mountaintops. It's in the valleys. It's in the valleys. People who are always on the mountaintop, always rejoicing. Very little spirituality with them. Show me someone who's walked through the dark veils. Show me someone who's faced the demon of discouragement. Show me someone who's been betrayed by all their friends, but they've gone on walking with God. I'll show you a spiritual man and a spiritual woman. It is very real. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, remember that man, one of the greatest men who walked with God, yet he was a weak man. You say, oh, but I'm so weak. Who says that's wrong? The Bible teaches weakness is not wrong. Your strengths could be your biggest danger. I'm strong in this area. Be very careful. Peter says, Master, the rest of them might deny it. I'll kill for you. I'd rather kill them, but I'll never deny you. Peter, you're on the eve of your biggest crash. You say, I'm strong. I'd never deny the Master. Do you know what Paul said in his trial? Who sent the messenger from hell? This messenger from Satan, this fallen angel, this demon spirit, who sent it to Paul? The Lord did. The Lord did. And when he said, Lord, please deliver me from this angel from hell, this thorn in my flesh. Please, Lord, will you deliver me? No. He went back to prayer. Lord, deliver me. No. A third time. Lord, deliver me. This isn't your will for my life. You don't want me to suffer like this. You know what it was? Every time he planted a church and raised up a group of believers, here comes the Judaizers and the sow division, and they bring false accusation and they try to split the church and they try to steal his fruit. Every single town, all through his ministry. And he's saying, oh God, will you deliver me? No. Listen to what the Lord says. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, will I rather glory in my infirmities? Yes, Christians have weaknesses. Yes, you can obey the word of God and love the word of God and hold the word of God and say, I'm going to keep the word of God. And you will have afflictions and you will be persecuted and you will have troubles. Not because you're doing something wrong, but very often because you're right. Let me finish here on my third point. Guidance in your worship. Look at verse 108. Except I beseech thee the free will offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Look what the word of God has been given to you to guide your life, to guide your life, to guide you in your walk with God. It's been given to you to guide you through your weaknesses. Or the devil will tell you, you've blown it, you missed it, God's deserted you. No, he's afflicting me. He's afflicting me. Do you know when daddy takes little Jimmy out to the shed at the end of the garden to instill the rod of correction on the seat of correction for things that are wrong? He hasn't deserted him. He's actually there in the woodshed. He's actually dealing with him. Oh, it's not nice. I don't like it. But you know what? I do know he loves me. Those he chastens, he loves. If he didn't love you, he'd cast you away. But when he deals with you, or when he shuts a door in your face, or when he says no to you, or when he doesn't give you things, I'm very aware in my life that God actually holds back from me things I really want. I am so aware. It's not always the devil. Often it is God. And I'm going like a spoiled child, even at this stage of my life. I go, give me, give me, give me. And he goes, no, no, no. You know why? I need to do things in your heart and life. I need to deal with you. I need to chasten you. I want the fruit of holiness in your life. And you're going, why isn't anything happening? Why doesn't this change? What about this thing? Why doesn't God move in this? And he says, I've got you in the woodshed and we're not going on or moving on anywhere until you know. Since this last point, guidance in your worship. The word of God has been given to guide you in your worship. I'm not talking about a nice song sung under darkened lights with a nice melody. That isn't worship. Worship is what you give to God. Worship is your entire life. Worship is that you bow down and submit to him. That is true worship. But the Bible is given to show you how to worship God. In verse 108, except I beseech thee. The word except means pleased or pleasure. He's talking to the Lord here, and he's saying, Lord, accept, be pleased to receive, take pleasure in what I'm giving unto you. I beg you, I beseech you, I'm praying unto you, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. This psalmist knows all about free will offerings. Listen closely just for a few minutes as I close. This writer of this psalm, he knows all about worship in the Old Testament. If you go into the book of Leviticus, it teaches you chapter after chapter how to worship God. It tells you when to worship God, how to worship God. How do you prepare yourself? What do you offer unto God? There is minute details about the priest, the high priest, the sacrifice, where you come to, how you do all these things. There is real detail. Do you know the writer of this psalm had read that and studied it and knew these details? He was a man of the word of God. He actually ordered his worship, his entire life according to the word of God. You may say, oh, I'm led of the Spirit. We're to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Yes, don't forget the word truth there. You see, some say, I'm just led of the Lord. Oh, I'll give offerings when I feel like it. Or if the Spirit tells me to give a euro this morning, then I will do it. You know, some of you, it's like a euro in your hand. The Holy Spirit's wrestling with you. God help you. You're lost if that's your attitude. If God has to wrestle a euro out of your hand, you really have serious problems. You know, this man here, he had studied how to worship God. What should I give to God? How should I act? How should I minister unto the Lord? And he says, I beseech you, accept the free will offering of my lips and teach me thy judgments. You know what he's saying? I want to know how to worship you. Will you teach me your judgments? In other words, the Word of God tells you how to worship God. When you go over to the New Testament, Paul writes 14 letters to churches, to Christians, telling them how to conduct themselves in the church. He says, don't do that. Make sure you do this. Pray always. Don't make accusations against your brothers. He gives all of this teaching on how we're to worship God, how we're to gather as a church of God, how we're to function as a church of God. And people, smart Alex, again, smart Alex, remember my dad warned about smart Alex. You know what smart Alex do? They say, the Spirit leads me. And you come and say, but the Bible says, oh no, the Spirit leads me. I know the Spirit. I walk with the Spirit. He shows me. They've never studied the Bible. They've never studied the New Testament. They've never studied the Paul and Corinthians. See, all the churches do this. All the churches do this. All of them in Asia do this. Saints, we need to get back to guidance of our worship by the Word of God. Your walk to be guided and governed by the Word of God. When you're going through the trials, be governed by the Word of God. I've seen Christians who they're in the trouble and they're being persecuted and say, I've had enough. If the Lord allows up my life, I'm going back to the world. You better go back to the world because the Lord will never tolerate that. That's worse than a spoiled child. But saints, when you know and love the Lord, you go, show me why I'm walking through this. Show me your plan and purpose in this. But also let my worship, let my free will offering of my mouth be accepted. I want my worship to be accepted by God. How do you find out if your worship's acceptable to God? Oh, how do I know how much I give to God financially? Sure, I don't need to give anything. You better go and read your Bible. But I'm under a different regulation than everyone else. The Spirit doesn't convict me. You better go back and read your Bible. I don't need to go to a church on Sunday morning. I worship God. I worship God at home. I sit down and I say, Holy Spirit, will you lead me to the right service and just lead me to the right super preacher from America with the right message for me? And this is my worship time. Do you know what? You need to go back to the Word of God and say, will you teach me the Word of God? Do not neglect the gathering together with other believers. Saints, we're only beginning this. We'll come back in a few weeks' time to Psalm 119. There's much in this Psalm 119 to show you how the Word of God is to function in your life in every single area of your life. Please stand with me here.